What's up, guys? This is Zhixuan here, and in this podcast series, I hope to talk more about the current affairs which are affecting us. Each week, I will select a particular incident and elaborate on how it affects us in Singapore. Similarly, I'll bring over guest speakers each week to discuss their views on a particular matter. Stay tuned!
Hi guys, it's my new episode, the first episode of 2023. You may have noticed it's been a while since I've uploaded a new podcast episode. It's because very busy with army. Yeah, I'm a Singaporean boy. So recap, last year in December, for like 3 weeks, I went to Brunei for Exercise Lancer. Yay, and now I'm currently in Rotational 3B. And I'm awaiting for my block leave in the first week of April, which is coming soon. So, yay, I'm hopefully I'll be having fun. Anyways, for today's episode, we will be discussing about the world of finance and technology. For today, I'll be talking about the recent failure of Silicon Valley Bank and how it is affecting Singapore. So Silicon Valley Bank, or SVB for short, is a bank that primarily provides banking services to startups and venture capital firms in the tech industry. In recent months, SVB has been facing financial difficulties, leading to its eventual failure. So what went wrong? Well, the first issue that contributed to SVB's downfall was its focus on a niche market. SVB primarily served the tech industry, which made up the majority of its loan portfolio. While this strategy worked well in the past, it proved to be unsustainable in the face of economic downturns. When the pandemic hit, the tech industry was not immune, and many startups struggled to stay afloat, leading to a surge in loan defaults. Another issue that contributed to SVB's failure was its over-reliance on short-term funding sources. SVB relied heavily on deposits from venture capital firms and other investors to fund its lending activities. When these funding sources dried up, the bank struggled to meet its obligations, leading to a liquidity crisis. So, how does SVB's failure affect Singapore? SVB had a significant presence in Singapore, and many local startups and venture capital firms rely on its services. With the bank's failure, these firms are now left without a reliable banking partner, making it harder for them to access funding and manage their finances. The failure of SVB could also have broader implications for Singapore's startup ecosystem, as it could discourage investors from investing in the country's tech startups. In conclusion, the failure of Silicon Valley Bank is a cautionary tale for banks and financial institutions that focus on a niche market. It is also a reminder of the importance of having a diversified funding base and robust risk management practices. The impact of SVB's failure on Singapore's startup ecosystem remains to be seen, but it is clear that the country's tech industry will face challenges in the months and years to come. Adding to global jitters, a second financial institution in the US, New York-based Signature Bank, which had held up to $110 billion in assets, closed its doors just days later on Sunday. The US authorities moved quickly to calm the situation by guaranteeing that no depositor would be left out of pocket at either bank, among other steps. The two failures in rapid succession evoked for some the start of the global financial crisis in September 2008, when investment bank Lehman Brothers failed and other financial institutions teetered on the brink of collapse. On Monday, HSBC announced that it is acquiring SVB's UK subsidiary for £1, protecting the deposits of SVB's UK clients after a weekend of frantic negotiations by UK officials. Today, takes a look at the factors that brought down SVB and implications for financial institutions outside the US, including Singapore. So previously, I've talked about what caused SVB's failure. So I'll bring down some numbers as well. So generally, in the past, SVB specialized in financing startups and had become the 16th largest bank by assets. 16th largest US bank, sorry, by assets. At the end of 2022, it had $209 billion in assets and about $175.4 billion in deposits. But its demise represents not only the largest bank failure since Washington Mutual in 2008, but also the second largest failure for a retail bank in the US. So a key factor of SVB's failure has been the aggressive drive by the Federal Reserve, along with other central banks in the world, to rapidly increase interest rates to combat inflation. I've talked about inflation in my past few episodes and suggested increasing interest rates, and it did happen. And now this and another financial crisis has happened. So yeah, so continue. As borrowing money became more expensive, the flow of cash from sources such as venture capitalists began to dry up, causing many of SVB startup clients to withdraw funds from their accounts to cover their cash flow requirements. To meet those withdrawals, SVB began to sell some of its investments in bonds, including long-term government bonds known as treasuries. Banks typically don't keep all deposits as cash, but rather invest much of them to achieve a better return. At a time of higher interest rates, existing bond prices tend to fall as newer issues try to compete with higher returns, so SVB sold some of its bond portfolio at a loss. Then, in order to cover for that loss, SVB sold some of its own share stock. All of this make bank depositors very nervous and more begin pulling out their funds. Unlike a typical retail bank, most of the deposits were in large sums, so SVB quickly became insolvent in a classic case of a bank run. California banking regulators had to shut down SVB on Friday after depositors pulled out as much as $42 billion on a single day. On Sunday night, US regulators announced that they will protect depositors' funds by setting up a new financial backstop, following fears that people will flee other small banks. Some commentators have raised questions about whether the US authorities should have taken earlier action, given SVB's exposure to the bond market in a rapidly rising interest rate environment. So, yeah, that's the main cause of why SVB fell, in a summary. So, yeah, so many might wonder could the same market forces that took down SVB do the same to Singaporean banks? So analysts say that there has not been any visible impact on Singapore banks, arguing that there are several fundamental differences that set lenders here significantly apart from SVB. Mr. Dillon from Maybank Securities Singapore's head of research said in Maybank's ASEAN Speaks podcast on Monday morning that the systemic risk is relatively low, especially for banks here. A large part of SVB's client base is startups. Singapore banks' customer tends to be mostly large corporates as well as more premium clientele. Agreeing, Mr. Pham from Phillip Securities noted that bonds made up of 57% of SVB's total assets. In comparison, they make up 12 to 19% of the total assets in banks here. While Singapore banks definitely face bond losses, the majority of the assets are in loans, so Singapore banks are able to pass on the higher interest rates to customers, he said. And, yep. Okay. Alright, that's it for today's episode for my podcast. Thank you for listening. If you like it, please share, because yeah, it makes it nicer to have more audience listening to me. So, alright, that's it guys. See ya, bye bye.